Welcome to the Just Because I Love You podcast. I'm Amanda, and you, listener, are called Carla. Today, I'm sharing some quotes from an article I found called Sisters in Hate, How White Nationalists Weaponize Motherhood. We'll see if my sisters can figure out what this author is so angry about, because the mothers being criticized actually seemed pretty cool to me. Beware listening to this episode, Carla. We might be seducing you into believing we're not really bad. My introduction was a little bit longer today, and so I almost didn't get it in before the music was over. But we did it.
Yay!
By the skin of our teeth, we did it. Okay, so what I was telling you guys just a second ago was that it's going to be kind of hard for me to pick quotes out of this article because it's kind of long. It's actually an interview with the author of a book called Sisters in Hate.
So she has a book about this.
Yes.
She had many things to say.
Yes. Okay. So the author of the article or the person doing the interview is Angelina Chapin or Chapin, C-H-A-P-I-N. And she's interviewing a person who wrote, let's see, I think journalist Sayward Darby, who wrote Sisters in Hate, which is a book. So it's kind of long and it's hard for me to figure out which parts of this I really want to read because I'm afraid you guys are going to think that I'm skipping like the important stuff. Because when you call something Sisters in Hate and you want to give examples of three people who converted to the white nationalist movement, you'd think you'd have some quotes from the people who converted to the white nationalist movement.
Yeah.
And there aren't any in this whole article. It's just about how bad they are and how now they've weaponized motherhood. So
no demonizing pictures.
Megan can post the
I'll post the link to in the what description. We're referring to.
Carla, when you're listening, you can go and find the article itself and read it for yourself from beginning to end. So you can see I'm really doing my best to portray their strongest arguments here. I just don't have any. They don't have any. So it starts out like this. In many ways, Alia Stewart's motherhood led her to the white supremacy movement. It was motherhood that led her to the white supremacy movement. Mm. When Stewart had her first child in 2003, she was a pro-gay rights feminist in her early 20s who followed a vegan diet and studied midwifery, according to the new book called Sisters in Hate. But after getting her master's degree in women's spirituality, her politics began to shift.
Wait, in women's spirituality?
Yeah, in women's spirituality.
Okay.
A master's in women's spirituality. She was pro-gay rights and a feminist before that. And then her politics began to shift. According to journalist Sayward Darby, Darby writes about how Stewart converted to Mormonism, had more kids, and began posting about how men should be the dominant breadwinners and women should focus on family life. Dun, dun, dun! But it gets worse. When feminists criticized that philosophy, she decided stay-at-home mothers weren't welcome in the women's rights movement and that it demonized white men like her husband. Uh-huh. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so again, I don't know what else to read. Like, it's a long article. I don't know what else to read except just the whole thing is like this. They're like, she used to be this, and now she does that.
She used to order from locally sourced bakeries. Now she bakes her own bread. How dare she?
You guys, I'm not joking.
It sounds like an amateur trailer to like a parody thriller, you know, where it's like you're going to have the looming music in the background. And
so they've referred to her as joining the white nationalist movement. I think it's important to point out that at no point in this article does the lady in question, in this case, Alia Stewart, does not identify as a white nationalist. None of the women in this book identify themselves as white nationalists.
Siri, hush.
Siri responded. Sorry, Siri, I'm not talking
to you. Siri's like, let me tell you what a white nationalist is.
Apparently we need to know because the person who wrote this article does not know. Like,
no, that's an important label because if all the quotes are things like, oh, she thinks that, you know, Jesus is...
No,
important.
She's a Mormon. So
oh,
she
okay.
Not.
My bad. Yeah. My bad. My point is if she thinks spirituality is important, if she thinks the husband is the leader, then I'm a white nationalist.
Right. Well, okay. So there's three women in the book that are profiled in the book, Sisters in Hate. And one of them is this lady who's a Mormon now. One of them converted to Islam. So she's now a Muslim. And the third one, I don't know if she identifies as Christian or if she's sort of like a non-religious American. I'm not sure. But I'll just continue on a little bit. I'm not skipping anything. This is the next paragraph. She, Ayla Stewart, gravitated toward the alt-right corners of the internet, places that embraced her increasingly traditional lifestyle. And by 2017, her blog and YouTube channel interspersed spelt cookie recipes with videos of her kids in the garden with racist screeds about the refugee crisis and musings on how good mothers should dress modestly, speak softly, and avoid urban accents.
Ooh, that's interesting.
The last one kind of threw me for a minute, and I would like to know what these racist creeds were.
Yeah,
that was good them. Luck.
Good
that
luck.
Was what she that just was read.
Wait, yes,
that was her racist creeds.
Yes, about how you should avoid urban accents, speak softly, dress modestly, and then she would talk about the refugee crisis, which is racist.
What?
My favorite is she littered her YouTube channel with cookie recipes.
Videos of her kids in the garden.
Spelled cookies, Tabby.
Right. Videos of her kids. They reference her kids' Halloween costumes later in the article.
Did she make them?
Probably.
Hand sewn?
Yes. And I will tell you, they make no bones about the fact that they're outraged that women like this keep trying to portray themselves as normal and wholesome. And
well, and that's the other thing I noticed is from the corners of the internet. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, motherhood is tucked into the corners of the internet? Like,
this
what?
Kind of motherhood.
Traditional which
is,
motherhood?
Which is interesting because it used to be mainframe. It
That's
used
what
to
I
be
thought.
Like, leave it, not Leave It to Beaver. Is that what it's called?
Maybe.
Is it Leave It to Beaver?
June Cleaver. June Cleaver.
Yeah. Like, there was that. There was also the Brady Bunch mom. Like this
we're
was,
not idolizing those people, but you're right. It used to be mainstream.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
I mean,
it wasn't
even,
weird.
Even that 70s show, the mom, who's one of my favorite characters ever, is like makes all the dinners and
yes.
Very traditional mom.
This is important, though. This is a sentence that the author admits she, Miss Stewart, didn't want to be labeled a white supremacist, and she used motherhood to obscure her racist beliefs.
Wait.
Period.
How? Like, you can't just make that statement and make that accusation and not say how.
The problem is you don't have to prove anything these days. You don't. You just say it and you have a feeling about it and that's it.
You
but what's
it
funny is
enough.
The person they're talking about was interested in midwifery.
Yeah, before.
She was already heading this direction. I mean, she was already heading towards a traditional lifestyle.
Yeah. Right, not having it,
it was already, there was already a little bit of it there. It's like not even surprising.
So it's implying then that traditional values are somehow white nationalist values now. That it's no longer about actual blatant racism.
Not just implying, but assuming it. Like Megan said, you would think you'd have to prove what you mean by racist, but they're so conditioned to believe that traditional values are racist, they don't even think they have to explain that anymore. They just say, look, cookie recipes and videos of her kids. Also, she mentions that she doesn't support, you know, people flooding the borders. And there you go. That's all you need to know. I mean, that's literally all I have to say on this subject. You should be able to see the racism as plainly as I do.
So if I could find a black traditional mother, and I'm sure they exist,
yes.
Who also does cookie recipes and also doesn't believe that you should flood the border and all the other things, are they white nationalists too?
What did you say, Marla, about Larry Elder, who ran for governor in California?
Yes, he was the black face of white supremacy.
Yeah, he's a black man who's been in,
you didn't hear about
been
that?
In radio for years and years, and he's a conservative. Uh-huh. And yes, he was being billed as the black face of white nationalism.
There was
How is that not racist?
There, it is. There was a... You guys did not... Okay.
I haven't heard this, no.
There is a woman, a girl, riding a bicycle with a monkey mask on, throwing things at Larry Elder as he's walking down the street.
And she's the good guy?
And she is the good guy.
I wish you could see Tommy's face,
so
Carla.
Many memes going around about people were just like, this is what racism is, and they're calling it the complete opposite. It's just like,
Tommy's jaw hit the floor. She's like,
Oh, well,
because I can honestly remember sitting in a history class only like 8 years ago. I haven't been out of high school that long. And they were showing us pictures of like racist incidents in the 1950s when Martin Luther King Jr. was around and doing all of his reforms. And that would have been a picture that was in the textbook.
Absolutely. They put conservative people, because it's funny, put that image that you're thinking of people like angry face at Martin Luther King Jr. They put that right next to the Larry Elder picture of the white woman with the mask throwing the banana peel or whatever it was at him. Yeah. And we're like,
hello.
Like, I don't even know. It's like, here you go. And they're like, oh no, black and white. This is different. Yes. This is not the same.
I bet you if you were to take that picture.
They were in black and white. They really were.
That's my point. If you put it in black and white and showed people and said, what era do you think this is from? They would all say, oh, racist era. 1950s.
Civil rights movement.
Civil rights movement has to be.
Jim Crow.
Yeah. And I bet, oh, no, that happened
yesterday. That happened last Monday.
Yeah.
Or whenever it was. It was a couple weeks
and
ago.
And some people would be like, oh, that's awful. But what's even crazier is that she's the good guy. Yeah. They're like, yes, that makes total sense.
I'm so confused on how motherhood is now the face of white supremacy. Well, so white nationalism.
Yeah,
sorry.
Same thing.
It's
white supremacy taken to its political end as white nationalism.
You know that BLM on their website had one of their things as destroying the nuclear family.
Yeah,
they don't want nuclear. They don't want traditional.
Do they want children at all?
Like, yes.
So you shouldn't have kids, or you just shouldn't have kids and
they
bake them cookies?
They want them as like farm animals. Like, we got to crop this next generation out, and they have to believe what we believe. And which is, I mean, we are kind of saying the same thing too, is we're going to raise our kids to believe what, you know, we would like to pass on to them. But we don't treat our children like farm
animals. here's where it kind of gets to the.
Or abort them.
Here's where it gets to the interview section. First, it says, Sisters in Hate, the book, tells the story of Stewart and two other women who were at some point involved in racist hate groups. Woman number two, after Stewart, is Karina Olson, a former neo-Nazi who disavowed the movement and converted to Islam, and Lana Lochteff, a prominent white supremacist whose online TV and radio shows were banned from YouTube in 2019. That's literally the only evidence that she gives that she's a white supremacist. So, I don't know why they think she is. But Darby writes in her book about how each of these women was drawn to white supremacy for different reasons. A sense of belonging for Olson, a creed for Stewart, and power for Lochteff. And then she intersperses their stories with historical and psychological context to explain why, quote, women have always been a valuable part of American hate movements. So we spoke with Darby, the author, a self-described feminist from the South, about how femininity and motherhood and some of the far right's, are some of the far right's greatest weapons. So this should answer your question perfectly, Megan. Just wait for this.
No, that does answer it.
That does?
Well, but I know what she's trying to say. She's saying that women have the power to influence their children. And so if you are doing dangerous things like teaching them how to bake cookies and love the Lord, then you're obviously... a white nationalist.
I think they're
starting
to come to the realization that the hand that rocks the cradle does rule the world.
Yeah.
And that perhaps the women having 8 or 9 kids, they homeschool themselves, are more of a threat than the women who abort most of their kids except one and then send them to government schools. Like, I think that's where this is rooted. Right. But it is hilarious that they are still trying to make that our bad.
Right. No, that's the things we kind of enjoy. That's the part of motherhood that we're like, oh, that's what makes it worth it. All the hard work, all the sleepless nights, because
we have influence.
Yeah. I'm producing the next generation.
Yeah. So this is what she says. The interviewer says, you lay out ample evidence that white women are a key demographic in hate movements, but why is white nationalism most often associated with men? And the author says, well, to be fair, they're usually more visible. They commit the violence. So I completely understand why you'd want to focus on the visible and harmful manifestations of hate in men. But while women might not be the ones leading the conferences, they are helping build the infrastructure of those movements.
Oh, thank you for acknowledging that.
Somebody sees my hard work.
Yes. Thank you for the pat on the back, dear author.
And again, author and Carla, anybody listening, this is not an acknowledgement that I am a white supremacist. I'm just totally mocking the fact that you call everything you don't like white supremacy and example at all.
If we take out that accusation that we're promoting, you know, white nationalism.
Yeah.
I say thank you.
Yeah.
If you could write that in a card, I will send you my cookies that I bake with my children on a homeschool at home ec day.
Like the recipe. Oh my goodness.
It includes spelt.
So let's see. She says, this is the part that I definitely wanted to read. You describe, this is the interviewer again, you describe in the book how motherhood and children are weaponized. For example, here's an example, guys. Are you ready?
Yes.
In one online post, Stewart included an image of her toddler-aged daughter wearing a frog costume, which is an homage to Pepe the Frog, who's become an alt-right mascot.
What? Can you...
Oh, my word.
I mean, were they really trying to make Pepe the Frog, or was this, like,
I don't know.
Literally
no,
her that's, Halloween costume?
That's just because it was a popular meme, and memes and meme sites are considered alt-right.
I don't even know if it was an intentional homage to Pepe. I don't even know.
Doubt it.
At this point, I don't trust the author to give us the scoop, so I can't say. But
at least it could have been costume. Worse. But frog, I was like, where are you going to go from here?
But the interviewer says, so can you say more about how this works? So go into depth here. Yeah. And the author writes, women like Ayla, who really showcase their children and are ready-made for the Instagram era in a way. Okay? This is what I definitely want Marla's perspective on this, too, because she runs our Instagram. It's like she's saying, quote, here's what we made for dinner. Here are my children raking the yard. Look at my blissful life. I think they're daring critics of white nationalism to say something critical so they can just respond, quote, are you saying my children are dangerous little Hitlers in the making? There's an obvious pernicious PR slant to showing off how supposedly normal they are. There's some people that are going to be kind of seduced by that idea and think, quote, you haven't said any racial slurs. You haven't promoted violence. You can't possibly be that bad. When it's convenient to them, these women wear their motherhood status as a shield. They're saying, quote, it's not that I hate black people. I just want the best for my own children, so I want to live in an all-white community or homeschool my kids. It's manipulative.
People will think, hey, they haven't actually said or done anything racist. Yeah. So maybe their lives do look kind of nice. Maybe I do want that same thing. No, you racist.
Isn't the argument she's trying to make that it's that they're not normal?
Yes. Yes. She's trying to say they are using their supposed normalcy to deceive you and to lure you into their white nationalism. But she has failed to give a single example of something white nationalist that they have said or done. They all have to one. They've all denied that they are white nationalists. And she's like, no, no, you are. And all of this protesting and showing how normal you are is proof, I guess, of the fact that
is this book self-published? Because I can't imagine a publisher looking at this and saying,
oh, no, no, no. This is exactly what a publisher
but I mean, to not have any right evidence, now. Though? Oh, absolutely. It's just full of assumptions.
Yeah, but they do see it as evidence. That's why I'm just over here flabbergasted.
Could the three girls sue for
defamation?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not how
if
that works.
If she changed her name, if their names were
I don't think she did. I think they're Instagram influencers and you can go follow them. We should follow them on our forces.
We really should. They sound like I would like to have the spelt cookie recipe. Well,
and again, this is
I got some spelt I have to use up.
This is not a condoning people that we've never talked to in our lives. Like, I'm not going to give a blanket, I guess, endorsement for somebody that I don't actually know. And maybe she does say things that I would disagree with. Like, maybe there have been instances where something that she said smacked of bias or prejudice or something that wasn't exactly loving the neighbor.
Do
I don't
think
know.
So. Because I don't why wouldn't so. That be used?
I'm just saying, right, that's what I'm saying. If that happened, it is your duty as a journalist and as an author of a book to give those examples and let people make that decision for themselves, not to character assassinate and tell me what I'm supposed to believe in advance by repeatedly using labels that the women themselves have rejected. Like, that's just raunchy. That makes me want to go follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, please. I'm going to go there. Do you have any of their names yeah. again?
I have A-Y-L-A Stewart. I think it's A-Y. It might be A-L-Y-A.
Alia or Ayla?
I thought it was Ayla, but they spelled it two different ways in this. They can't even get the spelling
of the
name.
They spelled it wrong.
Right. Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, so I don't know. What was the first way?
A-L-Y-A or A-L-Y.
Well, what's crazy is that the examples aren't even, they're not even close. You can't even say something like, oh, they went to an anti-BLM march. Oh, they were Trump supporters.
They probably did do those things. But again, that alone does not make a person a racist.
No, I'm just saying that those aren't even the examples she gave.
That's one of the tenets of critical race theory, isn't it? Where it's like, unless you are outright denouncing it and confessing, if you are white, that you are racist in some ways, but you're working on it. you are racist.
Yes. Well, that's also not even, they don't always even accept that. It's usually a, I say jump and you say how high whenever I want situation. You should be able to say anytime that I tell you to, oh, I'm not a racist because
I need your anti-racism report card that you've done in the last few months.
Because saying it once, like Trump did, is not enough.
Right.
What's okay? I'm not finding this first person.
That's all right. I'll try to Finley's get. Upset I'll try to get that information to Megan too before we publish, so that she can link to the article and the names of these women who are being criticized.
What did she call their children? Little Hitlers?
Yeah.
Your little Hitler is very upset right now.
She wasn't saying, she wasn't necessarily calling kids little Hitler. She was saying that we are just waiting for the opportunity to accuse others of saying stuff like that. Like, we post all these cute pictures on social media so that if anyone criticizes our obvious white supremacy, we can just turn around and say, you know,
the children,
you think our kids are little Hitlers and you're being unfair.
Right. Now I see how her mind works. Right. That's not what I do.
No, I was like, I don't think I've ever, like, how manipulative do they, does she assume all mothers are like this?
That's probably how she thinks. Jeez. So, yes.
Are they white, the authors of the book?
Not totally sure. Okay. I don't know. But this is the next chunk that she says, the women in these movements are appealing to other white women who might have the same kinds of thoughts, impulses, and instincts. I'm sure you know women who would probably say, quote, I would send my kids to public school if the public schools were better.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
You know anybody like that, ladies? From there, the conversation can become more racially overt, though, right?
It's funny how she used the word instinctual. It's like, we're following our instincts.
My racist tendency is to want to like nurse my own children and keep them close.
I wanted to find these points when writing the book, she says. I wanted to find these points of familiarity where the things that women were saying and doing on the far right actually sounded a lot like people I know. There's a tendency to think of white nationalists as crazy or to other them, but plenty of people who are educated and financially comfortable can find a place in this space. And women are very important in drawing new believers in.
Oh, and inclusive.
The way we do that, by the way, ladies, is by inviting people to see our everyday lives and, you know, sharing stories of our children and just presenting ourselves as very normal.
She'd hate us.
Yeah, that's why I thought we should bring it up.
Yeah, you don't want to get to know people, because if you do that, you might be seduced by white nationalism. It's better to just characterize them and assume the worst about everybody. Don't actually talk to them and see if they really are racist.
If you see something pleasant on their social media account, just assume that it's just to distract.
Yeah.
Because they're probably really terrible people.
Here's the interviewer again. The way women draw in new members is often less aggressive than men. You write about how they might invite someone over for wine or use community picnics and Bible studies groups as scouting grounds. Yes.
Sheesh. What does this woman do all day if she's so busy just trying to avoid normal activities?
She's trying to fill in the chip on her shoulder. Yeah. It just keeps coming out.
Sheesh. She's like, wine at the park? White nationalism.
I could go on. I could go on and on and read more of these. It's just like that, the whole article.
It seems like the qualifier is just being a mother. That's it. That's the qualifier.
Religious, I think.
Yes, being a religious and confident, a mother who's confident in her beliefs and who's traditional leaning, you know, leaning toward traditional values. And I'm bringing this up mostly for Carla's benefit. Anybody who's reading who has never been exposed to this kind of character attacking before, like, be prepared for this. Yeah. All you have to do is put your kid in a frog costume and somebody on the internet is going to be like, oh, racism. Like,
well, the interesting thing is that she assumes you have to have money to have this lifestyle that we supposedly have.
No, that wasn't what she was saying.
Well, she said something about financial.
Right. She was saying we sometimes assume that racists are a certain type of demographic, but that it can also be somebody who's affluent or somebody who seems like a normal person. That was just more of her explanation. You sometimes think they might be redneck hicks or hillbillies or blue collar factory workers or something like that, but it can also be just your June Cleavers, you know, or your people
in the middle class. A racist is
the
people in your neighborhood.
Well, you know, one thing I do appreciate,
your neighborhood racist,
is that she was inclusive of other religions. Like, normally I see this just about Christianity, but she included a Muslim. She included,
Mormon.
There we go.
I was like,
and it's just like, oh, you're going for them all.
any sort of religion.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to bring religion into it. She doesn't say anything about
which is kind of surprising. Belief. I know. It's literally just attacking the traditional family values.
Right. And barely even that, because like you guys pointed out, she's not being specific at all. She just keeps saying white supremacist, white nationalist, just keeps saying it over and over again and hoping it'll stick eventually with literally nothing backing it up. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely effective for some people. And there are a lot of people in our churches and in our neighborhoods, in our Bible studies and coming over to drink wine with us who might be intimidated by that because they're afraid of being associated with something like this. All it takes is just saying, that person that you said something nice about, do you know that over here on the side, somebody else has said they're hateful or that they don't like people of color or whatever? Like, did you know that their name has also been associated with insert really horrible accusation? And people go, oh no, I don't want that. I mean, what a horrible thing to be called. You know, what a terrible thing to be associated with. Mm. I don't want to be a communist. I don't want to be a fascist. I don't want to have hatred attached to my name. And yet, I think it's important that we be prepared for that with something as innocuous as being homeschoolers and believing and bringing up our children in our religious values.
Well, even in Matthew that we're reading, we read Matthew, yesterday?
Yeah.
5-7, I think. It talks about the persecution that you're going to face. And just remember that I was persecuted first. It's like, yeah.
Well, I don't know if Mandy would agree with this. Maybe she wouldn't, but I sometimes
think... She's right here. She'll tell you.
this infamous Mandy. Sometimes I think almost like what you should do with a bully, like if they're starting to call you names, is just kind of own it. It's like, I can say I'm not a white nationalist, and I would, but if their definition is, a homeschooler who likes religion and wants to raise her own children, it's like, okay, then I guess by that definition, I'm a white nationalist.
In comedy, specifically improv, it's called agree and amplify. So you're not just supposed to kind of begrudgingly agree after a while. You're actually supposed to double down and increase your seriousness about it.
So I also do this. Yes, and I also,
not only am I a white nationalist, but my children are little Hitlers in the making. That's what she's sort of aware that we would try to do in some cases. And it's like, well, maybe it's because you're being extremely unfair towards mothers and, traditional mothers specifically, and accusing us of weaponizing our motherhood, when maybe you're just recognizing that motherhood is naturally, automatically a weapon, and we're using it effectively, and you don't like that because you'd rather kill your children than learn how to, influence your culture with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Interesting.
There's a long-winded quote for you.
It's hard to persecute me when I'm willing to go, okay.
I guess I am. What's funny? I've used that response. There was a time when somebody said something when I was talking to them on Instagram, and I had to think about. I didn't respond because they said I was something, and I was like, yeah, that's true. And I don't think they responded after that because they didn't expect my response to be one of agreement.
Yep. Yeah.
It's disarming. Totally caught off guard.
Well, and again, that's another way, because we talk in this circle like we do, we kind of give each other pointers like that. That's another way that we've weaponized, things like social media. We've weaponized our language. We've learned how to fight effectively in what is a culture war. And so a big part of me has taken this article as a compliment. It's like, oh, they're recognizing what we're doing it now. They hate it. Yeah. They're trying to cast it in the most negative light they possibly can. Mm-hmm. But they're at least recognizing that we're doing something effectively, and they don't like it.
Oh, thank you for noticing.
Megan said, thanks for noticing all the work we're doing behind the scenes.
You were with Finley.
Yeah. And it's just interesting that rather than learn how to become effective influences over their own children and effective mothers themselves, they'd rather just tear us down. Mm-hmm. And,
Yeah, but I don't want them to get effective if they're not going to pass on good values. There's something kind of comforting in knowing your values aren't that great and you can't pass them on. Okay.
So here's a funny thing. We're about out of time for this episode, but a funny thing that happened this week was
this one. I want to share it. It's good.
We can go a little over.
Okay.
A friend of ours, dad's podcast that I co-host, is on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. And one of the hosts of another podcast on that network is Gabriel Wrench. And Gabe and a couple other members of his church were arrested in Moscow, Idaho, last year because they were singing psalms on the courthouse
parking lot.
Weren't they socially distancing too?
Some of them were, but members of the same household weren't, and they weren't wearing masks. And so three of them were arrested. And so this year, on the anniversary of the arrest, they put the video from that day out again. They re-released it. And then Tucker Carlson picked it up on Fox.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, so that's cool. So Tucker talked about it. And then Gabe, who's a friend of ours, posted the clip from Tucker on his Facebook wall. Okay, so they're basically just like, hey, check it out. We got some coverage on Fox. So random person down in the comments, who apparently also lives in Moscow, I guess, said, 3 days ago, the Anti-Defamation League called out Tucker Carlson for his racist rants, and yet you seem to think being mentioned on his show is something good? And you supported Donald Trump, too. You might need to take a step back and reconsider your supposedly Christian beliefs. And so I popped in there and I was like, being called a racist by the Anti-Defamation Church is actually a compliment. It's funny there are people who take that seriously. And there was sort of a bit of a freak out at that point because it's like, you're supposed to respond when I call you a racist. Yeah. You're supposed to grovel and beg me to believe you're not. Like, and so this other guy, third party, says, Amanda, it's disgusting that you don't take Tucker's white nationalism seriously. Maybe you think the Anti-Defamation League is too liberal, but that doesn't change Tucker's regular invocation of white replacement conspiracy and other overtly racist propaganda. It's repulsive to see so many in the church are running toward his blood and soil fascism.
See, I don't think I've ever seen anything of Tucker's.
Yeah.
I don't watch the news station, so I...
So what would you think, based on the characterization you've heard, that he's saying?
That's when I was like, I don't...
He's putting on a white hood.
Well, let me tell you. Nicki Minaj retweeted something that he shared and basically was in agreement with him.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that.
Did she get canceled?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they tried.
People are really mad at Nicki now. But here's what happened. My friend Gabe comes back and says, hey, friend, could you link to some of these racist rants? Like, give me an example of one of his racist rants. And he's like, sure. And the guy linked to the webpage that has all of Tucker Carlson's shows on it. Fox News/Tucker Carlson.
So like all the shows are all supposedly.
Give me an example. Everything.
And Gabe goes, did you mean the link to a specific episode of this? Because this is just all of his shows in a big pile. And he goes, no, that's what I meant to send you.
Oh. Again, I guess I would have to go watch all of his shows.
No.
I don't know who this is, Carla.
No, you definitely do not need to go watch all of his shows. That's ludicrous. It is ridiculous to be able to just
say. That's putting the burden of proof on you.
Yes. Right. No, but that's what I'm saying is that like for a person, it's like I know the name, but I've never seen any of his stuff. It's like two people arguing about somebody in high school. It's like that I've never met.
Say he is racist. Now here, go watch 20,000 hours worth of his stuff and prove me right. Like, no, quote him. Give me an example. Show me a video, picture. Even if it's a 15 or 20 minute video, which is a lot of time for me to spend listening to your ridiculous accusations. Like, give me something. Don't link to the whole Blinken network, like, archive.
You might as well have just sent him a picture of Carl Tucker.
Just look at him.
Like, did you mean to do this? And it's like, yes, all of him. Everything about him.
I just wanted to prepare Carla for that. Like, I want you to know that this is a regularly used tactic. Many of us are tired of it. And we're
doesn't matter if you're white or black.
Yes.
Yeah. Or any color, brown.
Yes. And we're becoming immune to the accusation now that we realize it's literally just a control tactic. It's like, I'm going to call you racist because I know you're afraid of it. And I don't have to prove it. You have to prove you're not. And we're getting to the point where we're able to laugh and go, okay, yeah, that's ridiculous. And we're not going to play that game. So anyway, what do you have, Marla?
I just thought there was something really good. And Tabby apparently saw it too.
Yeah, I saw like a... last night, maybe? I saw, and then I saw that you posted, and I was like, hey, I read that too.
We both read it. So look at that. So it's by somebody on Instagram. Looks like maybe 2 underscores. Hold on. Ignore my limit.
It also has to do with submissiveness and traditional femininity.
Yes.
Okay. Can we do an episode on submission?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's have a palate cleanser. Read something we can actually agree with, please.
This is good. Okay. If you grew up in the West... feminist culture, biblical submission will feel extreme. It keeps going. It's a series of slides. I got it. If you're selfish, behaving selflessly will feel like you're quote unquote losing yourself. If you're stubborn or rebellious, the authorities in your life will feel quote abusive. Mandy's taking Finley off my arm. Hallelujah. Okay. If you're used to running your mouth, practicing self-control will feel like you're self-censoring. That was in quotes. Yep. If you're used to spurning correction, criticism, no matter how constructive, will feel like an attack. Feelings, when surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, are a gift, but they're a terrible means of assessing ourselves objectively. So much of what we perceive is just that, perception. And perception, contrary to to the common saying, is not reality. It's so important that we know the Bible, our unchanging standard of objective truth. It's equally important that we humbly throw ourselves down before the King of the universe in surrender, asking him to open our eyes and remove our biases before we open its pages. God's words are living and active. They pierce and divide. Lord, not my will, but yours. Change my heart and mind. Should be our cry when we approach the words formed from God's breath. Otherwise, we can know God's word and never be changed by it. It will remain in our heads and never make it to our hearts. Worse, we may deceive ourselves, even misusing it to justify our rebellion. Lord, help our unbelief. Lots of good Bible verses below backing it up. And it was just,
whew, if you take all those and just say, if you're used to this, this will feel abusive or extreme. It's like, just replace that with, it will feel like white nationalism.
We went pretty full much circle.
Yeah. If you're used to being selfish, then anything selfless will feel like white nationalism.
Mm-hmm. If you're used to being a woman who prioritizes money and career and fame over her children, then seeing a traditional woman who values her husband and her kids is going to feel like it's evil or they're doing something wrong.
Yep. Like what it said about justifying your biases. I have a feeling that what is happening is they see that, they go, oh, that looks better. I think it looks good. And that makes me feel bad. And so therefore I have to label this as something awful. It has to be bad. It has to be evil because I don't do those things. It must be white nationalism.
Or they're saying that, like, oh, it's their highlight reel. You know, their life is not that good. And most of the time it's like,
true.
A lot of people aren't posting their crying children and the amount of butts they wipe a day. But it can't be that much better than what I have right now.
Well, and I think so. I shared this on my own personal story and then on our Four Sisters page, which, shameless plug, if you don't follow Four Sisters, One Savior, numerals, four and a one. Okay, so I posted that and then one of our Carla's sisters responded and said, oof, as someone who grew up in the West with a doormat for a dad and a master of guilt tripping for a mom, this post is hard hitting, very accurate, very difficult, very timely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, Carla,
even looking at that, if you feel some type of way about it, that's not how we're talking. You know, you feel,
I got it.
It hits you. You feel conviction. You're not alone.
Somebody is ringing the doorbell. I don't think it's the mailman.
Definitely not. One of my male friends, we always joke, he responded, he goes, ooh, they're not ready for that. And I said, I know. Hee hee.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, anyway, we appreciate those of you who are following us on Instagram and MeWe. And you can also follow me on Gab, that, you know, bastion of white supremacy. And in all fairness, there is a lot of white nationalism on Gab. We're not even going to make any bones about that. But we appreciate all of you sending your comments, sending us your emails. All of you sisters in hate.
Yep.
We just we love all our sisters in hate.
FourSistersOneSavior@gmail.com if you want to email us.
Here comes the outro music. Let's see if I can get the outro in before the music ends.
Four haters, one
test
God.
Test us, Carla. See if it makes it in.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, FourSistersOneSavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.